This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here in Money, Riches, and Wealth. Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvissuto.
Yes, good evening, Drew.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day. I moved right around the Beltway.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood. You got your sweater vest on and all ready to go, eh?
Yeah, I had to open the window. I had to turn on the air conditioning. You know.
Yeah. So we're on an open show tonight,
open
Tomas.
Show.
Open show. So we're going to answer questions. And last week we had a great interview with George Malone, and that was insightful. You know, he was, he's an economic journalist for almost 50 or plus years, actually,
yeah.
Probably 60 years.
Yeah.
And it was great. But a couple weeks, next week, there's another guest coming on, right?
Yeah, we've got Chris White. This is, Graham's going to be here with you because he likes the touchy-feely stuff that you like.
Emotional investing or whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's called Working with the Emotional Investor.
Emotional investor, and then it's financial psychology or something, right? The book's about, so it's about how people, you know, their emotions actually get carried away,
right?
And either can, you know, mostly will destroy, you know, your ability to make good investment decisions because of your emotions. And that's why people like Warren Buffett, who have pretty much a steady keel,
right?
He doesn't care. He's confident about X, and he just goes accordingly, and things don't frazzle him because he's so confident in the core of who he is.
Right.
And that's what this person's talking about, how you let that emotions and volatility swing in your emotions and so forth. But anyway, I should read the book before next week, too.
Well, that'd be good. That'd be a good thing. But we got to give him the number.
That's true. Tonight on the open show is 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and direct the conversation for tonight's open show, you get to be the guest. You get to determine the course of the conversation, the topics of the conversation, and the way you do that is call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680. And if you don't, you just get to hear Tom and I pontificate on different issues.
Yep.
Like this morning,
yes.
I thought for sure I would get at least three or four phone calls from Aflac agents and Nationwide agents because I just totally laid them out that I just disagree with those companies. They do commercials out of the gazoo.
Yes, sure do.
And they act like they're just incredibly wonderful. And, you know, I mean, and they weren't the only two I could have named. There are tons of others.
Yep.
And you know, as a fee-only advisor, I don't care where our clients get their insurance, whether they buy it from Geico or State Farm or Nationwide. It's totally irrelevant to us. We don't make a nickel more. We don't have agents that we refer business off to that we're getting kickbacks on or doing wonderful things, or we're sharing clients with each other or something of that sort. Our only purpose for referring somebody to someone or some insurance company or to do an investment is because we believe that it is the best for that client.
Right.
And that's the way the whole industry should operate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that isn't how the industry operates.
Right.
What's happening next week? It's next week.
June the 9th.
Yeah.
So next Friday, the fiduciary rule goes into effect. And this has been delayed a little bit, but now it's going to go into effect. And, you know, it's the Department of Labor who oversees ERISA plans. So that's your IRA, you know, your 401ks, your company, you know, plans. And they're coming out and saying, well, you know, advisors, investment advisors, when you transfer, you know, when somebody's 401k over and you want to move it over to an IRA that you can manage, you have to be more selective, and you have to be a fiduciary. You have to act in their best interests. And so what does that mean? And so that's still going to be subject to debate a little bit. A lot of it comes down to the things they can measure, things like fees. Doesn't always talk about service and other things like that. But it's only relative to these retirement plans and IRAs, ultimately, that they're analyzing. Not the rest of the assets you may have. You know, I can sell you a whole bunch of garbage, you know, with the other assets. I don't have to be a fiduciary on that. That's the crock to me of the rule, You know, it's that, you know, we act as a fiduciary on everything we do for clients. We act in their best interests. And with this rule, it just is causing the brokers and the insurance agents out there to have to think twice and have to have special agreements. Now, it's going to be a real pain in the rear for folks in terms of the things and the analysis that now has to be done.
Yeah, well, you know, of our listeners out there, 95% of it, so if there are a group of 10 of them here, mm-hmm. at least 9, if not 9.5 of them,
right.
would be dealing with a non-fiduciary advisor.
Right.
And that's what the Department of Labor is saying now,
right.
is that if you're working with somebody on their retirement assets, you must work as a fiduciary. But you see what they've also done is they've opened up a window that say, if you get them to sign this, you know, 10-page document
right.
saying, look, we have this this conflict of interest. We're going to make money here. We're going to make money here. We're going
right.
to do this. We're going to do that. Sign here.
Yep.
And the client's willing to sign without thinking about why do they have to tell me this?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, they're just going to bypass this rule. But I've actually seen some financial groups, especially insurance companies,
mm-hmm.
actually go to the extent of saying that the Department of Labor ruling for requiring them to work in the best interest of the client is a
onerous.
It's onerous, and it's a it's like, you know, taking away the rights of the people,
right?
You know, where as opposed to giving them rights,
mm-hmm.
that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can't just sell them an annuity because you're going to make a nice commission on it.
Right.
And that's
right.
that's part of where this rule came from.
Mm-hmm.
It came from the fact that there were people who were taking money out of 401k plans that had relatively no or very low fees
right.
and putting them into these annuities that are being sold as if they are getting this giant bonus, they're getting all this
right.
rates of return, they're getting all these wonderful things. And, you know, nothing could be further from the truth.
Right.
And so one of the ways that they felt that they could attack it without saying these products are illegal is
right.
they said, we're just going to make it, you got to work in the best interest of the client. And now all the insurance companies are like, well, wait a minute, that's going to destroy our base. And,
right.
and they've been trying their darndest to get this rule overturned.
Yeah, lots of lobbying against it.
Anyway, we're on an open show tonight. We have all open lines, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask a question, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask a question right now, I got to take my first pause. Take getaway traffic. Personal finance has become a major area of stress due to the increasing dangers and complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283. Or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAVE. Or visit us online at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. And, you know, Chris, I think you disconnected the phone lines because no one's calling in. So, but anyway, I'm sure that somebody out there wants to call and ask a question, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. If not, Tom and I will just sit here and talk for a while.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, there was an excellent article a few weeks ago, and you and I talked about it, and it was about that an advisor brings a 4% advantage
mm-hmm.
to a client,
yeah.
a good advisor, and that was the key. They talked about fee-only, matter of fact, and being independent, but they said that a good advisor would bring 4% alpha to a typical client's portfolio.
Yep.
But the thing that was interesting in the article is that it had nothing to do with that advisor picking better investments than the client. So why don't you help everyone understand, how can an advisor bring 4% better rate of return, and if they're not picking any better investments?
Yeah, and I, you know, and there's a couple of studies that have been done. One by Vanguard, I think Morningstar's done them, and you know, they end up with this number somewhere in that 3 to 4% range. And you know, and it has to ties in a little bit. It's even to the book that's going to be next week, is, you know, dealing with the emotional investor, because investors tend to be emotional with their money. And they tend to do the opposite of the old adage of buy low, sell high. You know, they buy high, sell low, because they get excited at a point, you know, now. And you mentioned this morning with Sean that, you know, maybe the market's not overvalued or incredibly highly valued, but people that have maybe been out of the market for a while, you know, even back to 08 or 09, are now, you know, saying, I got to get in. They've missed a big run in the market.
Or they're saying, I got to get out.
Yeah.
And they don't have any reason as to why they got to get out.
Right.
They just are getting afraid. They're emotionally getting concerned.
Yeah.
And they remember those downturns and they say, gee, I can't afford to get caught in one of them.
Right.
And they, you know, pull out. And that's that's what this article's talking about, is that advisors should take that emotion away from them and say, look, you go enjoy your life and just have a good time.
Right.
And I'm on it. I understand the volatility. I understand what can happen. And, you know, you just go ahead and let's assess it over long periods of time.
Right.
Let's not assess it on a week-to-week, year-to-year basis.
Yep. Yeah, so that's definitely a big part of it.
They said that was
managing.
2%.
Yeah, managing.
That was 2% of the 3 to 4.
Yep.
That was 2 of it.
Yeah.
But the other big one was one of the reasons why I'm a firm believer that your advisor should be a CPA, or the firm should have a lot of CPAs working in conjunction with you, like our firm.
Yep.
Our firm has 6 CPAs that work on all of our clients. We work as a team.
Yep.
You're yourself, you're a CFA, that's dealing with the investment horizon and, you know, and so forth. And then we got 2 or 3 MBAs that dealing with the masters in running businesses and investing and so forth. And but the CPA is important because they said 1% is tax planning.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, there's a ton that can be done with taxes. And, you know, the concept of what kind of assets do you put in different kinds of accounts that clients have? And how do you manage those taxes? And just so many other things that we can do. We've talked about things like, you know, QCDs, which is a qualified charitable distribution. You know, how do you manage that? Do you gift appreciated securities? You know, how do you manage other things? And that's why, you know, being a comprehensive advisor the way we are, looking at, you know, the estate, the taxes, the insurances, the investments, and how that all fits together, you can make so much better advice for the client. And being a comprehensive advisor, we can do those things. And that's where that alpha is being added. It doesn't show up on a statement, you know, necessarily. And, you know, what do you put into a Roth IRA versus a traditional IRA? What's your timeline on these different pieces? It's not necessarily going to all be the same.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think most clients realize that when you own a actively managed mutual fund, and every year that they're buying and selling securities, they're distributing those capital gains out to you.
Right.
ETFs don't do that. Index ETFs don't do that.
Right.
Index funds don't do that.
Right.
And so we had a client come in, and they had a whole bunch of actively managed mutual funds pumping out hundreds of thousands of dollars in capital gains and repositioning it into ETFs and almost totally eliminated that. It was just they were shocked at how much taxes they were able to save by that.
Right.
Tax planning is an invaluable. That's 3% right there, just the emotional and the tax. And there's a whole bunch of others that we could talk about, but we've got some people calling in.
All right.
And if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. Tom in Bel Air, how can we help you?
How you doing, Drew? I heard you on the morning show about insurance, so I figured I'd give you a call.
Okay.
Seems like I got USAA insurance, cars and the house.
So you are an officer in the military?
No officer. Anybody can get it, I think.
So you got it in the last 10 years?
Probably.
Yeah, because they only allowed enlisted to join the USAA auto and homeowners around 2007.
Okay.
So, are you did you find that when you got it, it was substantially better than what you had?
I didn't really think it was that much better, no. Now,
well, you know, here's the thing, Tom. This is a very interesting point you're making.
Mm-hmm.
USAA is our number one company if we have a military officer from the past. If you're just an enlisted person or somebody in your family was an enlisted person and you were able to join USAA, it's mediocre at the best because they absolutely have created two insurance companies, one for the officers that is extremely, incredibly good rates, and one for the enlisted people, which are okay rates at the best.
Did not know that. The newest trend, and it happened to me, is I got a phone call from an outside outfit that works for them, wanted to come inside the house. I told him absolutely not. It was up to me. It was voluntary. My wife started worrying about the amount of trees we have around the house and if we're not going to be covered. So I called him back, and he came in. And he tells me it's going to happen every 2 years.
That they're going to come in?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's totally unusual. I've not had that.
Are they doing an assessment of your home to get a value?
No. Fire extinguishers, smoke alarms.
No, so they're just trying to keep the house safe.
I got a wood stove in one room and a cold stove in another.
Well, I think, you know, here's what I suggest, Tom. You contact Erie Insurance Agent.
I was going to ask you, what's your best...
Erie. Especially where you're at. Are you in Bel Air?
He's in Bel Air, yeah.
Joppa,
yeah.
Yep.
You try Erie, see what happens. They are our number one go-to insurance company for most people outside of the Baltimore Beltway.
Very good. That's what I was after.
See what you can do. There's a guy in Bel Air, actually. Mm-hmm. His name's Todd Boyle, that is very good, great agent. We don't get anything from him. We don't want anything from him, but we know he's a good agent. And if you tell him you got the referral from us, and you have a problem, and you call us, we'll get him to jump to attention and make sure he takes good care of you.
Is he connected to the Bull Buick people?
He's not.
Okay.
No, I asked him that same question because I know Chuck Boyle up there is a great guy as well. But and you know, the important thing is you compare an apples to apples, but one of the key things is making sure you have the right coverages and how all of it comes together.
And Todd
will look at that. And you know, I've had him look at mine over time, and he hasn't been able to always be better. And he's told me straight out, hey, you know, what you've got is great. So if he thinks what you have at USAA is great, he'll tell you to stay with it.
Very good.
All right, Tom.
Thanks,
take
guys.
Care.
All right.
Can I go to David for a second? Yeah. Christine. David, what can I help you with?
Probably a little off topic. Unemployment compensation. If a person quit a job back in my day, they penalize you, you know, a bunch of weeks, maybe 6 weeks, and then you started collecting it. Is that still the way it goes, or?
You know, I'm not 100% sure about how unemployment works now, but I thought it's like 6 months now of unemployment. And when the recession really hit, I think they went up to almost 18 months, didn't they? But
yeah.
I don't think it works the same way. I think it's just a straight 6 months.
Yeah, and David, you know, it varies depending on, you know why is the person unemployed? So if they've been let go, and what reason they were let go for, or if they quit. You know, there's different rules for each level, and the unemployment officer will evaluate, you know, that and make a determination of what category the person fits into and then decide how long they have to wait before they can collect. So it does vary. And as Drew points out, back in the Great Recession, benefits kept getting extended and extended, actually out to, like, I think 2 years.
Where it was all 18 months,
I think
it went.
Benefits for about 2 years. But it depends on the reason and what the, because they'll interview the employer as well and say, hey, why'd this person leave? And they'll make a judgment call based on those facts.
All right, David?
Yeah, it was a quit situation because they were taking deals away from this person. And
well, if they quit, that's going to be difficult. But, you know, they'll have to assess it accordingly. All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Right now, I've got to take a pause with traffic. Take it away, traffic.
You need help organizing your financial life? You thought about what retirement looks like when you go beyond just the numbers? The financial physical is the first step in working together to organize your personal finances and your goals. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. Call today to schedule your financial physical and experience the difference. learn at DrewTigg.com. That's DrewTigg.com or 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
All right, we're back. Money, riches, and wealth with Amy, right? Pure Prairie League. See, I remember that from a few weeks ago. But I remember it from college. This would have been one of our favorites back then.
Yeah.
Little Feet, you could always do Little Feet. He's like, Little Feet? What's Little Feet? I know you know what Little Feet is. Anyway, we're on an open show. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and direct the conversation onto the topic that you want to hear. I have Tom on, I'm sorry, I have Troy. Is that what that says? Troy. I have Troy on the line, and I'm going to go to him in a second, but I just wanted to let you know. 410-922-6680. There's lines open if you want to call in. It's been a slow night tonight, Tom, but we're going to deal with Troy and whatever time it takes to deal with answering Troy's question. Troy, how can we help you?
I don't think you can, but I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Do you feel the country's in a better place with 45 in office?
It's totally irrelevant to me. You know, I think that Trump, I think that presidents are almost irrelevant. That, you know, look at Roosevelt. Okay, I could go through the whole list of presidents, okay? But let's take Roosevelt, right? Roosevelt, everyone think, oh, Roosevelt, he saved the country, et cetera, et cetera. He did so much. He tried to encourage the people. He spent money. He started programs. He did this and he did that, and he did it for nine years, Troy. And at the end of 9 years, his economic advisor said these exact words, which we talked with George Malone last week, who reiterated that it's exactly what he said. He said, after 9 years and everything we've done, this country is no better off economically.
Okay. Okay, well, tell me this. You said you don't care about presidents. Do you feel that no, that's the same question. What do you feel that he can do to actually make the country better?
Do I think Trump could do?
Yes.
I think what
economically, because you sound like a numbers guy, so, you know. Yes.
I think what Trump, you know, number one, I think that you really need a major tax reform. Our tax laws are absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous.
They benefit who?
They benefit all kinds of different people, Troy. So, you know, everybody wants to act like, oh, the tax laws are only designed to benefit the billionaires and so forth. There is no doubt that some billionaires can take advantage of the tax laws, but there's plenty of people who are making low income who also can use, and I could tell you this for a fact because I have clients that might only make $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000, but because I know the tax laws, I can manipulate the tax laws to help that person making $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000.
Right.
That the guy that doesn't know what I did for this guy, he's getting screwed over here. So everybody can manipulate these tax laws because they're ridiculous, Troy.
If they know. But the thing is, when you're only making, because 50,000 used to be a lot, when you're only making 50,000 or 40,000, you're not really going to get anything by, you know, twisting and cutting corners when you do taxes. When you're a billionaire,
I would disagree with you, Troy.
Of course you would, but yeah, it doesn't necessarily make it right, does it?
I don't know what you're saying, because I'm telling you that I have clients that come into me to do their tax returns that we do comprehensive planning with that are making $50,000 and $60,000 and $70,000, that sometimes there are incredible things that we can do with those clients to dramatically lower their taxes.
It's material to them, Troy. It may not be in dollar amounts what a billionaire is saving or dealing with, but it's material to them, and we can help them. But I think Drew's point is the tax code is incredibly complicated, and it's more complicated than it needs to be. And
why do you think that is?
Why is it so complicated? Because
there are a bunch of goofy politicians, both on the Democrats and the Republican side, who've turned it into a social engineering mess, where you've got the Republicans passing stupid laws that help these people, and you got Democrats passing stupid laws that help these people. And I'm not talking necessarily that the Republicans did it for the rich and these ones did it for the poor. They both did it to benefit themselves and only themselves, and we end up with the mess in between,
okay,
Troy.
This is my final question that I'm going to just jump off. If we're supposed to be this wealthy, powerful country, why are so many Americans suffering? Why is it even the homeless?
Well,
hold on a second. You know, sometimes I go with my church and we go to the homeless shelters. Mm-hmm. I met a family that was in their 20s with three kids in a homeless shelter, man.
Mm-hmm.
And?
I mean, come, and why is it that we're supposed to be the most powerful country in the world, greatest country in the world? But
did not Jesus himself say, the poor you will always have with you? Did he not?
I didn't ask you that, though. I have no idea, because I honestly haven't read the whole Bible.
Well, I'm just saying, he said that himself. You look at our country compared to other countries in the world, and...
I'm from another country.
Which one are you from?
I'm from Jamaica. I'm mm-hmm. from another country, yes.
And was it... So. And who's better off?
Well, I'm better off because I'm here.
Well, okay.
You're asking me, yeah.
So,
I'm not doubting that. What I'm saying is, why is there so many suffering people in this great country? That's what I'm asking.
I think that no matter what you have, mm-hmm. no matter how rich you are, there are always going to be people who are going to seem like they are incredibly impoverished. And I'm with you, Troy. Mm-hmm. I was the director of a homeless shelter for 4 years in Washington, D.C., the Gospel Rescue Mission in Washington, D.C. I know exactly what you're talking about. I have an incredible heart for the poor. As a matter of fact, I'm a firm believer that all Americans should be more concerned about the poor than anything else in the country. But you're not going to ever lift them all out of poverty, because people are making choices mm-hmm. on a daily basis that
right.
we cannot stop.
I'm talking about the ones who want to get out, but it is a constant struggle. Everything they do is challenged. Everything they do. Like, take someone, you know, who's on Social Security and he wants to work.
Mm-hmm.
They might want to drive for Uber. They have to call to check to see, you know, how much they can make. After that, you know, it doesn't make any sense to drive for Uber. It doesn't make any sense to work here, there, or there.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Hey, look, I'm a big fan. I talked to many a politician and said, it's ridiculous that a self-employed person who wants to make $50 or $1,000 a year cleaning houses or doing yard work or something, they lose 15.3% of their income right off the bat, Troy, paying Social Security and Medicare taxes. What incentive is it for this guy to do it up front and above board?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he becomes a criminal because he can't afford to pay all the taxes they want him to pay. Our tax laws...
I've done all those things, man. I've owned a cleaning company and all
I understand.
That,
so, yeah. Our tax laws are ridiculous. That's one of the biggest things that can happen to this country. Anyway,
all right.
I appreciate it.
Have a good night. And, you know,
good questions there, Troy.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mike in Park Heights, real quick, you have an
real
answer.
Quick, well, I just wanted to answer Troy's question. I think you guys kind of hit on it. But, Drew, you said, you know, the main thing that any president or any politician or any successful person can do to uplift people is to tell them this simple fact. You are what you think about.
Absolutely.
Everybody who's successful, if you ask them, you got to where you are, Drew, because you made up your mind, you wanted it, you had a burning desire, a definite purpose, and a definite passion. I tell people, I've been doing it for 30 years, when you decide to change your thinking, you'll change your life. And look, success leaves a trail the same way poverty leaves a trail. Mm-hmm. If you want to make it, all you have to do is find somebody who's already been there and follow them. And it's a guaranteed fact that you will become what they are. You have to make up your mind that you want it. Get up every day with a burning desire and a definite purpose in life. Go educate yourself and decide that you're going to do what you have to do and not what you want to do, because losers do what they want to do and winners do what they have to do. Troy, that's the bottom. That's it. It doesn't matter. You are what you think about in your actions.
I agree with what you're saying, but there are situations where people who work hard and work really hard and circumstances of life, you know, a medical issue that mm-hmm. was out of their control,
yep.
those things happen. And we have to, as a country, be ready to help them. But we can't also provide a handout for every freeloader that wants to take advantage of
exactly.
the system and don't want to work. And that's mm-hmm. the antinomy of
yep.
the difficulty, and
yep.
how do you protect against that? I appreciate it, Mike. I got to run and take a traffic pause, but that's a great word for our listeners. And right now, I've got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. Are you trying to tell me something, Chris? I don't know. Did I do something to him?
No, I don't think so.
All right. We're back with Money, Rich, and Wealth. We're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. We have one caller online. We'll go to them in a second or two. But you have plenty of time to get online also and ask a question. We do have open lines, and we could probably take one or two more callers before the end of the show, 410-922-6680. And regardless what it's talk about, if it has to do with personal finance or economics, which affects your personal finance, we're more than happy to address those questions. And our number here is 410-922-6680. Tom in Westminster, how can we help you?
Hey, fellas. I like your show.
Well, thanks. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
The screener let me through, so I'm assuming you're now legal experts. I have a question about Maryland divorce law and how it affects assets.
Well, we're not legal experts in any way, shape, or form. We're comprehensive personal advisors. But you go ahead and ask your question and know that you should qualify it with a legal opinion.
Okay. My wife and I have agreed to a divorce. It will be largely uncontested. There are two major assets, our home, which we own jointly, and a substantial IRA account, which is I have a financial manager managing for me.
Okay.
Her approach is that through a process that's already started, the house is going to be listed for sale in a few days. That's something that was already going.
Okay.
She expects half of the proceeds from the house.
Okay.
And she also expects half of my IRA account.
Okay.
Does that sound like Maryland divorce law to you?
Pretty much. Was the IRA accumulated during those years of marriage? How many years were you married, Tom?
A lot.
A lot. And would you say that IRA mainly came into existence during those times of marriage?
For the most part, yes.
Then you're pretty much 50-50, and I think her point is very well made. It's 50-50. Regardless who accumulated the money, if you made $150,000 and she made $10,000, it's 50-50. Now, I'm not a divorce lawyer, and I'm sure that with a highfalutin divorce lawyer, if you want to contest things, you can probably spend another $20,000 on a lawyer and end up with 70-30 maybe. But really, the law
maybe
is
not.
pretty much 50-50
yep.
of marital assets. And marital assets were those assets that were accumulated during the divorce. Was there any money you accumulated from an inheritance or anything of that sort?
Yes, there are some inheritance funds. Each of us has inheritance funds.
Are they still in each of your own names? In other words, what your parents left, you kept in an account in your name. What she got, she kept in an account in her name?
That's correct.
Now, those can be, even if yours is $100,000 and hers is $10,000, those can be separate, and you can keep your $100,000 and she can keep her $10,000. But it's not that simple, you
right.
know, because you could easily have tainted those assets and made them into what would be called marital assets. We should have Farrier Stillman on again.
You
know, she's always fun to talk about divorce law and how these things work and so forth.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not a divorce attorney, Tom, but I've worked with enough clients going through divorce, and we've counseled them on the tax and comprehensive planning side of the equation. We know what the lawyers are doing, but, I think a good if you want to keep your costs down, you should consider a divorce mediator to, you know, use to finalize an agreement and get it signed off on and so forth. And also, your wife's going to need a quadro, a qualified domestic relation order, to be able to take whatever portion of the IRA assets she's entitled to. She's going to need to get an agreement to be able to do that in a tax-deferred way.
Okay.
And it's very important that it be done right, or you could really cost yourself or her a huge amount of taxes. You know, like Donald Trump, you'd say huge. With a Y. Huge.
So,
right.
Yeah, you got to be careful with the IRA, and you want to make sure it's done correctly.
And the house, too. Well, they're going to sell the house.
They sell the house.
That would be an easy one.
That's going to be easier.
So if one keeps the house, that it can be complicated.
Are they similar values, or what's the difference in the values between the home and the IRA?
The values of what?
The value of the home and the IRA.
No, the IRA is a larger amount of money.
Yeah. And neither of you have any other 401ks or IRAs or Roth IRAs or anything else out there? It's just the one IRA that you have?
Well, mine is split up between an IRA and a Roth.
Okay. Well, whatever all the retirement money you two have, whether it's 401ks, 403bs, Roths or IRAs, take the whole kitty, divide it in two, and that's basically what the courts are going to say, in my opinion. All right? I hope I didn't give you bad news there, Tom. It is what it is. All right, buddy, you take care. I'm going to go to Dewey in Timonium. Dewey, how can we help you?
Hey, it's a quick question. I've started trading stocks on Robinhood in the past year. When do I need to claim that on my taxes?
Any that you sold in 2016 have to be claimed on your 16 tax return, but if you didn't sell any in 16, then you would have to claim them in 17, the ones that you sell this year.
Is that if I sell them and I, because with Robinhood, the money stays in your Robinhood account unless you transfer it to your bank account.
That's totally irrelevant, Dewey. If you buy a security in a Schwab account, a Robinhood account, or a Jailbird account, it doesn't matter. If it's and you buy a stock and you sell a stock, you have to pay capital gains tax on it if you make money. Now, you get to offset your losses against your gains, but if at the end the net is a gain, you have to pay taxes on it regardless if you take the money out of the account. Now, I'm assuming this is an after-tax brokerage account, not an IRA or a Roth. Is that correct?
Correct.
So then, yes, if I buy Coca-Cola in that Robinhood account at 50 and I sell it at 60 6 months later and I leave all the money in the account and I buy another, I buy Pepsi at the end of that, and then I leave it all in the account, I keep leaving it in the account. Once I sell, I'm gonna have to pay taxes on it. And the way they do that, Dewey, is through a Form 1099 composite. Will be sent to you by the brokerage firm, in your situation, Robinhood. They'll send you out a 1099 composite to say, here's your taxation. Here's the gain that you have. You have to report this to the IRS on your taxes this year.
Now, I'd normally short stock, so...
Well, that gets even more complicated as a tax issue. So then what you're doing is you're selling first and you're going to buy later. So when you sell, there's going to be some issues. There are no taxes when you sell initially. It's when you cover the sale that you'll pay the taxes on it. But then you're going to have interest deductions also, and you're going to have to pay dividends, and that gets a little more complicated on the tax return. Make sure you get good tax advice on that. All right, buddy?
Like I will. Thank you.
All right, take care.
You too. Bye.
That was the end there, Tomas.
Yes, sir.
And next week again?
Working with the emotional investor.
Working with the emotional investor. And my good friend Graham Ewing will be here. What did we call him? We called him something. We had a name for Grom. I mean, I can't remember what it was.
I don't know.
He'll be here next week with Emotional Investing. And this
Pierce.
Pierce, that's right. And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.